Jehovah has spoken like this, against the prophets, the deceivers of my people, usurers who sting them as a serpent with sharp teeth, pronouncing prosperity, and which is not forthcoming by reason of the sound of their words. Against them, war. That's Micah chapter 3, verse 5. The translation of Yours Truly from 2003. From the book of Micah chapter 3. That's our daily reading for today. A daily reading of the Bible for today, little children. And this is the resumption after 1 week from our study of February 19th. And this is the 26th of February 2025 of the Common Era. We left off just before the illustration of Attila the Hun by it's not mentioned what the name of the artist is, but it's from the book the Poetic Edda, the 1893 Swedish edition by Frederick Sander. In that book, this illustration is said to have appeared. It's an illustration of Attila the Hun, wearing what is supposedly the traditional garb of the Huns. Standing with his hands on his hips and a tunic with a belt around it, covering his midsection, on top of which is some kind of a waistcoat, or actually an even longer coat, more like a trench coat of some kind. He's got what looks like a sword at his left side in a scabbard, slung at his left hip. He's wearing a fur hat of some sort with some kind of a triangular or rectangular shape of material above it. And his tunic has stripes around the collar, and at the bottom of it, it's longer than his hips, certainly. It's down as far as not quite to his knees. It's a white tunic that he's wearing, sashed with a belt at the waist, and there's a buckle on the belt too, of course. I didn't mention that, but there's a buckle there. Simple rectangular buckle, and he's got over top of that tunic, as I said, some kind of a coat. Now, with the end of the Roman Empire in 1453 CE, that was the siege of Byzantium, the great city in the eastern part of the Roman Empire that was later called Istanbul, the great city in Turkey, over 7,000 years after Adam's creation. That was 1453, almost exactly 7,000, but slightly more. The Habsburg dynasty was beginning as Frederick III was crowned Holy Roman Emperor 1 year prior, in 1452. Of the Common Era, 1452 CE. So just before the Roman Empire ended, Frederick III was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in that previous year, and the Habsburg dynasty began. At that point, being imbued with power as what was called the Holy Roman Empire. The interesting thing, there's something very interesting I discovered the other day. And now I just remember, I just don't remember what it was precisely. What was it? It was under the year. Is it under the year that I saw this? Or under the... No, it's under the heading... I think I'll look for it here. The House of Habsburg. What's that? It's like something like Holy Roman Empire or something. It's so important. I think it's important. I want to find out what it was now. Oh, it's so important to me to know that, because something happened. Like the expression "Holy," the expression "the Holy Roman Emperor." When was that expression first used? That's what I want to search for. So let's just do a search for that. Maybe I can find it if I just do a search for that. I'll put it in quotes. Holy Roman Emperor or Empire. First used. No, it's somewhere under. I think, okay. Yeah, let's look up Wikipedia. Okay. The words Holy Roman. It's very interesting. I think the thing is there. Yeah. But there's some contention as to whether the Holy Roman Empire dates as far back as Charlemagne, who is about 800. 800 to 814, Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne. He was the first of the Carolingian dynasty, but this is... So he's sometimes called a Holy Roman Emperor by some people, but he was the first on this... in this article by... Let's see if I can find it. But I want to make sure that I find it first before I show you this article. I'm not going to show something that doesn't have any bearing on anything. What's this? 1493? I'll search for something like first used. Wow. German Roman Empire. Let's see. Let's just look for the word first. Because I have a feeling. No, it's not there. Okay. Let's just look for the word used. There's something really important. I was looking up this. Maybe it was the year 1450. I don't know what year I was looking up, so that's the problem. I can't look it up now. I think I was looking up the Holy Roman Emperors, and the fact that there. But that's what I'm looking up here. Oh yeah, I want the Holy Roman Empire. That's what I want. I think there. Yeah, it was first called the Holy Roman Empire. When? That's what I want to find. I think they're saying it was in the 1700s. When I did the Google search, that's what it said. But or maybe that was the earlier one, 1200. I'm trying to think now. Let's look for 1452. there. Frederick III was the first Habsburg to be crowned Holy Roman Emperor. I spelled it with a P, Habsburg, in the article that we're studying, the article Joseph and Owen. It's very interesting. Something about let's go back to what I first searched for. The late 1700s, the phrase Holy Roman Emperor was first used, is what the artificial intelligence gave, whereas the term Holy Roman Empire was first used in the 13th century. Let's see. Holy. I think what I'm. Oh, I know what I want to look for, yeah. We should just look for the word holy. The word holy. No? Okay. The word, okay. Look, I'm looking for the word holy. There it is. Wait. No, that's to do with the German. Yeah. The word holy with regard to the... There. Wow. Yeah, there's some debates about what that expression means, right? The Holy Roman Emperor. But there's something very interesting I found about that in one of the Wikipedia articles. And it was during my research, during the week that I had off. I'm thinking I'm going to take another month. I'm going to take a month. So our next study will be on March, 1 month, the same day of the month, March 26th, which will be 4 weeks from today, a Wednesday, March 26th. And that way I'll have more time to do research. And I mean, to really have a holiday is the main reason. Because I need that time to rehabilitate all of every, you know, all of my faculties or whatever you want to call it, all of my physical, spiritual, all, you know, biological systems, everything in my, everything about me needs to be rejuvenated from time to time, or, you know, and that's why the holiday serves so well. I'm not in a hurry today, but this is really something. We came to where, okay, I think I'm just going to read through this, because I read through it before, right? I read through, so we can look at this together. Let's bring it down. Let me bring it down. So looking through all, I was looking at the dynasties, right? And then, yeah, you could see the different dynasties, what happened. There was Frederick II, was Henry even one of these? Yeah, Henry was one of these, wasn't he? Henry II, we talked about him, right? Conrad II, there's Henry II, we talked about him, you see, right, from 973, right. He was in the article we're studying. And we talked about Otto the Great, who was also called Otto the First. It's fascinating, really. He died in 973. That was the year when Henry II became the so-called Holy Roman Emperor. or the leader of the Holy Roman Empire. Perhaps he's just at that point called Roman Emperor, right? But some people think Otto the First was the beginning of the Holy Roman Empire, and that was, he was 912 is when he began. That was his lifespan, but he began to rule as king in 936 of the Common Era. So, but I was just looking through all this list here, and you know, trying to learn what I could about what I also studied earlier when I was doing the research for the article. And many of the articles, I was reading all this information, and I didn't do an extensive amount of research at all, which means that there's always room to do more research. But I did enough, that's for sure, that I could have quite a bit meaningful to say about the dating, and specifically the chronology that relates to our own chronology called the genealogy. So, there's the House of Habsburg. They actually dated it as beginning in 1440, but the first emperor of that house was Frederick III, born in 1415. First became king in 1440, but his term as emperor, what could be called the Holy Roman Emperor, was 1452, which we just mentioned. And see, these facts don't change because by this time, the system of keeping records was well established in the time that came after the medieval period. You know, the records were kept well enough that we know who all of these people were and when they ruled at this point. So, let's see. Oh, there, look at that. Oh, the family tree, right. I was probably looking at the family tree. It's probably a tab I already have open, too. Look, 1173. Oh, why was I looking at that? So these tabs I haven't looked at. House of Habsburg, yeah. I looked at the House of Habsburg. Okay, so let's look at here. Right. So it's interesting that we have the beginning of the Habsburg dynasty with them ruling as emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, beginning exactly as the Roman Empire ended, or just 1 year prior, which is perfect for our chronology because the 7,000 years ends in 1452, since there's no zero year. So if we have 1452 on one side of the Common Era, right, and on the other side we add the 5550 of Adam, we get 7,002 years. But one of those years is reduced because, or eliminated, because Adam was created, we believe, or it's been proposed anyway, late in the year 5550. By the Julian calendar, I mean late in the Julian calendar year. So sometime in August, or, you know, I mean September, October, or sometime later in the year, not at the beginning. So that means when Frederick took the throne in March, when, you know, that's less than a full year, so therefore that eliminates one of those years. The other one being eliminated because there's no year zero at the turn of the Common Era. That year zero doesn't exist, so it's exactly 7,000 years. The Habsburg dynasty may be thought of thus at the beginning of the new week of millennia, as seven millennia, the first week, having passed from Adam in 5550 BCE. Seven millennia meaning 7,000 years, right? So 7,000 years after 5550. And this is from the existence of the first man, Adam, 1 week of years, or a week of millennia, in this case, being 7,000 years. Actually, it is very close to exactly 7,000 years. The 1,000 years which span the years 452 to 1452, with 1452 being the end of the 7,000. So that 1,000 years from 452 to 1452 may thus be seen as the end of the week of 7,000 years, the last day of the week, in other words. Jewish religion taught that a week was to end with a Sabbath of complete rest. The seventh day was the period 452 to 1452 CE, a Sabbath millennium. In 452, a Hun invaded Italy. What was his name? This Hun who invaded Italy. Was it Attila? Yes, he died in 453 CE, 1,000 years before a Roman Empire fell. Could it be that this 1,000 years was somehow different, or that in 452 CE, the invasion of Attila the Hun, who was nicknamed the Scourge of God, something significant was taking place? We investigate the Sabbath millennium from 452 to 1452 of the Common Era. We have an illustration there. It's a painting by Eugène Delacroix of Attila the Hun. The painting being dated sometime between 1838 and 1847. It's of Attila and his hordes overrun Italy and the arts. They overran Italy and the arts. In other words, Attila was, according to that title, attacking Italy and the arts at the same time. Between the establishment of the Eastern Roman Empire in 330 CE at Byzantium, Constantinople, it's also called Istanbul, and the fall of the Western Roman Empire in 476 CE, rests 452 of the Common Era. In between those two dates, between 330 and 476, is 452, in which year the Huns under Attila invaded Italy. How may this be understood as a beginning for a quote-unquote Sabbath millennium? The Sabbath is from the Jewish religion, so we logically look for religious signs. A major schism in the Christian church occurred. A major schism in the Christian church occurred in reaction to a man by the name of Arius, who asked the question, "Is Jesus unbegotten?" Wikipedia under Arianism wrote, quote, "Of all the various disagreements within the Christian church, the Arian controversy has held the greatest force and power of theological and political conflict, with the possible exception of the Protestant Reformation. The conflict between Arianism and Trinitarian beliefs was the first major doctrinal confrontation in the church after the legalization of Christianity by the Roman Emperor Constantine I." End quote. And we have an illustration of the schisms and their councils, from which we see that the First Council of Nicaea was the one during which the topic of Arianism came up and was disputed. At that time, the church abandoning the idea of Arian. And Arian had given this question, is Jesus unbegotten? So why did he give that question? It's clear that the Trinity implies that Jesus was not begotten, because he's part of a Trinitarian Godhead of a group of three gods that are, according to the Trinity, they're one, even though they're one God, even though they're three different persons. So, and they're all equal. So if they're all equal, then that implies that Jesus is not begotten. In other words, he wasn't created by the other, by one of the other members of that Trinity, who was, according to Arian, he was the father of Jesus. He was, at least that's what is implied by this question, that Jesus was begotten. He had a father, and the father was the most powerful God of all. So Arianism was a very important teaching or school of thought. Did Arius live about 452 of the Common Era? He lived about 250 to 336 of the Common Era. Here, at about this time, began a series of religious meetings that were conducted as the first Christian policy-making meetings after the Council of Jerusalem. Why am I having trouble saying Christian, I wonder? I guess there's the problem with saying the word Christian is that all of these Christian churches that were abandoning teachings such as the teaching of Arian were not really Christian after that point, because they became, you know, they became, I'm trying to think of the word, apostate is the word, right? They became disapproved after that point, because we know from the book of John chapter 1 and from Proverbs 8 and 22, also there's a wonderful scripture I want to show you that proves this point, John 17. This is one of the best proofs of all of the falsehood of the Trinity. It says, "So now, Father," Jesus said, "glorify me alongside yourself with the glory that I had alongside you before the world was." You see, Jesus had glory alongside his Father, and he calls him Father. But he had this glory before the world was. And that's directly referring to, we could easily argue convincingly, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Jehovah himself produced me as the beginning of his way. In other words, Jesus was begotten, the earliest of his achievements of long ago. You see? That was the earliest achievement that Jehovah achieved of all the things Jehovah did, was to create his firstborn, his only begotten. Now, so when I say the word Christian, I'm having trouble saying Christian, because they're not really Christian if they're teaching false teachings. But these Christian, so-called Christian policy-making meetings after the Council of Jerusalem began at about this time, as we saw from this Council of Nicaea, right? Was 325, but these other dates given here, at about the time of Arius, not Arian, I shouldn't say. That's right, his name is not Arian, it's Arius. But the school of thought is called Arianism. Arius was the one who taught that the Trinity was false. He said, is Jesus unbegotten? Because if Jesus is begotten, then the Trinity is false, in other words. Seven ecumenical councils were held starting in 325 with the First Council of Nicaea. And this series was the first, they were the first Christian, so-called Christian, policy-making meetings after the Council of Jerusalem, which you see from Acts 15. When the elders gathered in the Bible's book of Acts, chapter 15, I think it's somewhere around well, verse 21, it talks about, or 22, rather, the apostles and older men. And then, I think it's 29 somewhere, yeah. They make a statement in verse 29 to keep abstaining from things sacrificed to idols. This is a meeting of the elders of the church, the apostles and older men, verse 23. Brothers, to those brothers in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia who are from the nations, greetings. And they then told them to keep abstaining from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. Those are the only things incumbent upon Christians to perform after the ransom sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, which we date as 30, the year 30 of the Common Era, from our article Born and Raised. Now, by repudiating Arianism in 325 with the First Council of Nicaea, the church began to fall away from the teaching of Jesus, which is that he is an only begotten son of JHBH, the four letters of the Tetragrammaton that represent Jehovah's name. Three later councils, which few regard as ecumenical, meaning non-denominational, according to Ecumenical Council, the Wikipedia article, are accepted by the Eastern Orthodox Church. The 10th, that is the third, being, why I say that, I'm not sure, being the Synod of Jerusalem, returning to Jerusalem in 1672 CE. Three later councils. Okay, so the third of the three later councils was the 10th, which was called the Synod of Jerusalem, which returned at that time to Jerusalem in 1672 CE, which marked the first time after 1452 CE that a council was held. That's and what else does it say? And the first time a council was held at Jerusalem since the days of the apostles in the Council of Jerusalem. This 10th council is thus 220 years after 1452 CE, which reminds us of the number 22 in the article Joseph and the number 22 in the painting on the wall of the tomb at Beni Hassan. That's in the article Joseph. The beginning of the Sabbath of 452 to 1452 was marked by the Fourth Ecumenical Council of 451. This council was the Council of Chalcedon. It was attended by about 370 people. There's the number 37 again. Nice, isn't it? So that's it for today's study, and it's Wednesday, February 26th. To see you next month, March 26th. The year is 2025 of the Common Era. I'm Ward Green. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Sissy and this is Star saying bye for now. That was the Ark, or not the Ark, the Joseph and Owen, the article that we've been studying. Down to Da Vinci.